Carmen and Yurko
on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
If you miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
I probably would have to go with something by The Who. Something with a nice long intro.
Okay.
Won't Get Fooled Again, something like that.
Probably, for me, it would have been Biz Markie, You Got What I Need.
Yeah.
Yelling that to the pitcher. You got what I need.
That would not get annoying after the 500th spin. Mid-September going, oh, God, DJ's going to bat again.
Pick your perfect walk-up song. The Who's music is perfect, not only for the walk-up, but it's great radio, you know, production element. Because those intros were so long. You could do all kinds of highlights and sound bites, movie bites, TV bites underneath
it. They've got three songs, The Who is, that have really
so
nice walk-ups,
yeah,
man.
Absolutely.
Very distinct.
Glenn Casper and DJ yesterday right here on your new home for White Sox baseball. 5-5 tie. You got to love spring training. Just call the inning. All right, cool. That's it. We're going to, what do they call it, roll it? We're going to roll it. Just, I don't know what they're rolling it into, but because you don't start the next inning with, like, the guys back on base, right?
Just,
well, I don't know what you're rolling it. Just, you know, that's spring training vernacular.
We're in trouble.
Yeah, we're just going to roll.
Come on, you pitch too much, Jimmy.
You got to love spring training, man, I'll tell
you. Louie, too much pitches. Come on in.
I remember those two games I did with Hawk back in 05. You know, you get to the seventh inning of in Tucson between the White Sox and the Rockies.
68's on the mound.
And Hawk and I are looking like at each other. I don't even know who he is. Like, he's not even in the media packet that they gave us before the game.
Right.
Gotta love spring training. Len Casper, the voice of the White Sox, joins us on the Corona Hotline right now on ESPN 1000. It's Carmen and Yurko. Len, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, doing great, guys. I've enjoyed listening this morning. And before we get rolling, and I think, Yurko, you referred to it when I got the gig. What year was it when I interviewed you?
Oh, boy. 1992, 93?
Yeah, I was in Milwaukee 94. On the Packers flagship. And
WTMJ?
Yep, WTMJ, and we were referring to, I don't even remember who your teammate was at the time, but I asked what I thought was, it wasn't an innocuous question, it was just kind of a newsy question about a teammate who had held out or whatever, and you dropped a couple four-letter words.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. I had to remind you that we were on live on the radio.
I apologize real quick.
I'm sorry.
I knew that. Yeah. And he caught me like in between practices. So we had the first practice. We ran back to St. Norbert's College. Len and his partner were set up like in a room next to the cafeteria. So they led me. I don't know whether it was Jeff Blum or whether it was Aaron Popke or it was somebody led me into the next room. And said, hey, can you sit down for an interview? I said, sure, I'm more than happy to do an interview. And it was a young Len Casper there. And they asked me about it. I must have dropped, hey, this guy is blankety. I'm like, yeah, you just got off the field, you know? You kind of still got that emotion and stuff like that. And Lenny settled me down. Thank heavens you did it.
That's the fun of Yurko, Len. Can you believe all those years ago? I mean,
yeah, it's crazy.
That's 30 years ago.
Almost 30 years ago, yeah.
That's unbelievable.
We crossed paths, yeah.
It's pretty wild. It's nuts. I mean, you know, I don't know, Len, how many you've got. It's got to be the 3,000, whatever, how many games you've done in your career. And when you spend so much time with one team and then you change, like, and I know you've admitted this. You said, yeah, like, nerves do kind of kick in. I mean, you could probably do a baseball game in your sleep, but what have the first couple of games been like with the new team now on a different dial?
It's been really fun, invigorating, such a challenge. You know, I think for me, it's more the format of the show and making sure you get all the sponsorships right and all the drop-ins and all that stuff. The baseball part of it, that's the comfort zone and getting to know DJ and just kind of talking about the strategy of the game and different players and that sort of thing. But you know, I guess it's probably like a player going to a new team. You know, there's some nerves and trying to figure out where you fit in and what your place is. But I think the advantage that I had, it is a new team, but it's the same market.
Mm-hmm.
So I think while the fan bases do have, you know, the things about them that are unique to them, I think I came in a little bit with an advantage versus maybe, you know, going to Kansas City or Seattle or Los Angeles or whatever. So that part of it feels good. And other than spring training, you know, I'm in Arizona, but I get to sleep in my own bed, in the bed I've slept in since the day we moved to Chicago. So that helps.
Nice. From an X's and O's standpoint, when you go from television to radio and you so much more have to describe exactly what's happening to the radio audience. How different is that as a professional play-by-play guy?
Hugely different. The analogy I use a lot is tennis. I played a lot of tennis, singles and doubles, same game, but the strategy is completely different. You have to think very, very differently about how you do it. The radio call is about what, where, you know, the basics, where the ball is, what the score is. You've got to constantly remind people of those things. Television is, you know, all those things are pretty much visually available at all times, and you have more opportunity, I guess, to kind of stray from the play when you're doing television, particularly in spring training. So I'm right now kind of, you know, diving into that, and I think every year when you start, even if it is television for me, after being off for 4 or 5 months, it takes probably a couple of games to kind of get back in the groove. But, you know, I feel good. As I said, I think the relationship on the air and off the air with my new partner is paramount, and that feels great. The chemistry's good. I think DJ and I, like you guys, have enough similarities and enough differences to make it interesting. You don't want to be two peas in a pod necessarily, and you want to accentuate the differences because I think that's fun. But I also believe we kind of view the game similarly, and I like that I can kind of throw anything at him and he'll play ball with me.
Len Casper is our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. A lot of excitement around this young team. Is there a player that you're most excited about, Len?
It's hard to say just one, you know, and big picture, I have to say, and I'm sure you guys agree, I mean, what a year for ESPN 1000 to be the flagship once again. I mean, it's just so exciting, and I've had so many people tell me how excited they are about this team, and, you know, I'm humbled by the fact that they're excited that I'm here as well, but I guess I'll go with Andrew Vaughn just because it's a unique situation. He'll turn 23 in April, but a rookie DH is pretty rare. And, you know, DJ said it pretty explicitly that, you know, he thinks that that's a very, very difficult role for a guy trying to get his feet on the ground at the big league level. But here in the first few days, and he already got the blessing from Jose Abreu, who thinks he can do it. I really like his approach at the plate. I don't know how many home runs he's going to hit, but he can hit. And if he's the guy everybody thinks he can be, I think it'll make this offense even that much better. So I'll go with Andrew Vaughn. And then one veteran guy I really like and I think could be just moving up the charts is Aaron Bummer. He didn't have a fully healthy year last year, but by a year's end, guys, he may be considered one of the top three or four relievers in the game. The headliner here is Liam Hendricks, the closer, but I think Aaron Bummer would probably be a closer on half the teams in the league.
What kind of impression has Tony La Russa made on this squad?
Well, you know, all the players, Yurko, seem to be really impressed, and they've bought in. And I've talked to Tony a couple of times. He's really excited. The one thing about him, and I know his age will come up a lot, he's 76. He had been retired for 9 seasons. But I think even when he was in the press box working in different front offices, he was still managing the game in his head. And I think that's where his comfort zone is. I want to say he's 35-ish wins away from becoming the second all-time winningest manager in Major League history. So, you know, if there's any sense out there that the game has passed him by, I don't buy it. I think Tony was always ahead of the game when he did manage. And, you know, he's taking a lot of notes. I think what Tim Anderson has said has been very encouraging, that, you know, they've had a lot of conversations. I think Tony, he's not going to stand in the way of this team's success, and I think he's going to make them even better. The attention to detail is there. I really like Ethan Katz. I think another underrated off-season acquisition. I've had a chance to talk to Ethan a few times. Not only does he have a great relationship with the ace, Giolito, but he's already made an impact on Dylan Cease. And pitching coaches are really important, and I think the White Sox grabbed a great one.
Speaking of Giolito, who becomes his catcher, Len? I mean, it's weird. Like, these aces, you know this. A lot of times you see them always with that one guy that maybe you don't know too much about that's kind of their guy. And McCann and he had a great relationship the last 2 years. Is Lucroy the guy that kind of does that, or is it going to be Yasmani Grandal on every fifth day with Lucas Giolito?
It's a great question. A lot of times managers will match up the backup with one or two of the starters just to kind of have a, 2 days a week you're going to get in there. With the DH here, I think Grandal still will find his way in the lineup when he's not catching a lot of days. It may come down to they ask him at the end of camp. They might ask Lucas, like, look, here are your options. You know, who would you prefer? And, you know, I think he wants to work with Grandal this spring, and I think that will happen once Yasmani's back from his minor knee injury. I'd be more surprised than not, I guess, if it's not Grandal on opening night. That would be my hunch, is that those two work together, and it might not be exclusive, but you know, Lucroy's intriguing. He had a couple hits yesterday. Everybody loves what he does behind the plate. He seems to be rejuvenated. And with 26 on the roster, I still think it's possible Zach Collins could make it as a third catcher slash pinch hitter, a guy who might not play a whole lot, but again, he's not really a prospect anymore, and if he comes up with two big hits to win games and you win the World Series, it's not about development anymore. It's about winning.
Yeah, that's a good point. Len, it's great to have you aboard. As a White Sox fan, it's extremely exciting, and I think the year is going to be fantastic. So welcome, and we look forward to talking to you a little bit throughout the course of the season, too.
Thanks, fellas. I always appreciate the nice comments, and it's fun to be part of the family. You've all welcomed me in with open arms.
We'll talk to you soon, Len.
All right, you got it.
There he goes, Len Casper. So exciting. There's so much exciting stuff with the White Sox. Yeah, and the La Russa thing, my stance when it happened. November, December, blown away.
Stunned.
Thought it was the craziest thing.
Stunned. That report that when it came out, remember the report?
I'll never forget
beside
it.
Beside yourself.
I'd be more than happy to say they knew, and I didn't, if they're having a parade in the next year or two. So far, the returns have been encouraging. Like these, he seems to be doing this in a very professional sort of, like, I don't know how to put it. Like, he wants the players to understand that he has to earn their respect. And I guess I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought he was going to come in and say, I'm Tony La Russa, and I'm going to restore the balance, and this is the way the game has to be played, and I'll show you because I've won so much. It has literally been the 180 opposite. So already, it appears that I was very wrong, that the early returns would tell you that I was very wrong. And like Glenn just said, he is determined not to stand in this club's way. And so that's good. I was shocked by it. But all the things he's done and the things he's said since have put me at ease a little bit.
It's a calming feeling for Carl.
It's put me at ease more than I thought it would. And I don't know if a lot of White Sox fans feel similarly, but that's a tough word to say.
Similarly.
Yeah. Similarly?
Say that 10 times.
Yep. Similarly.
Simile.
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 Similarly. 312-332-3776.
Len is right, by the way. Tony La Russa, 35 wins.
Yes. Yeah. He's going to pass. Let me guess. Hold on. Connie Mack's one, right?
Connie Mack is going to be one forever.
He'll be one forever.
Yes.
Because it's not even. But he was also the owner of the team, right? And wasn't he?
Yeah. Connie Mack's under 500 win percentage.
Well. Okay. Hold on. It's not Sparky, right? He passed Sparky.
No.
John McGraw.
John McGraw, good job.
There you go.
Good job.
So he's going to pass John McGraw for two all-time.
Do you know who's right behind Tony La Russa?
With four?
Yes.
And fourth?
Yes.
Hold on.
I'll give you a hint.
Lou Piniella.
No. Lou Piniella.
All right, hold on. Let me think of somebody. Not Sparky. Hold on.
Actually, Lou Piniella's
Casey Stengel.
Lou Piniella's 16th.
Well, Casey Stengel's a good call.
He's one of the three managers that they won in three. All three of these guys won in the Hall of Fame together. He's one of those
Bobby
three.
Cox.
Right. Bobby Cox.
There you go. Bobby Cox. That makes sense. Boom. All right, we'll take some calls when we come back next.
See what Carmen and Yurko were talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Shot!
I didn't even know cars had black boxes. Is that a new technology? I saw that the sheriff's department in L.A. County obtained a warrant to grab the black box from Tiger's car after the accident last week.
I did not know it. This was this a new style vehicle from the Genesis?
A courtesy car, so I'm sure when Tiger's out there, they give them the newest and the best. But I honestly didn't even know that. So they obtained that box as they continue to investigate. Their early conclusions are that he fell asleep at the wheel, right? They said it.
Classic case of falling asleep at the wheel.
That it hopped the median. He was going the wrong way. They said the path that the car took is terrifying. You know, that's how they deemed it. And then before he finally went down to that little gully, and there were no skid marks, and he never appeared to hit the brakes. So it's like it's a classic sign of falling asleep.
But it was early in the morning, Carm.
Exactly.
How does one fall asleep at 7 a.m.?
Listen, I'm not going to lie to you guys. On the way driving into work, I've been tired. If I had a bad night's sleep, I mean, like, you're like, oh, man, I'm tired today.
The natural question then would be, did you sleep at all during the night?
I don't know.
Yes, exactly. That would be my question.
Right. And what happened last night? What were you doing?
The day they did the press conference and they said there were no skid marks.
Right.
That was my initial reaction was he asleep at the wheel?
Fall asleep at the wheel. That is scary, man.
God. And they were,
they were checking for the wrong types of skid marks. I bet you have to.
They were quick to dismiss the idea of DUI.
Right. They said they didn't even draw blood.
Correct.
Which I don't know what you can do about that now. I mean,
the one thing is I do know, if the hospital drew blood.
Listen, they had to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They can subpoena
the blood at the hospital.
Yeah.
Do you know, with the black box and a brand new car and all that technology, I mean, you'd think it'd be it's a little bit harder. I'm not saying it wouldn't happen, of course, but, you know, these days, I drive a Nissan Altima. My wife has a Honda Pilot. Like, in those cars, and I think this is probably pretty common if you have a newer car, you've got lane departure, you know, where it warns you. I mean, I've got the backup,
camera.
The
sensors.
Camera sensor. Yes. I mean, it slams on the brakes, York, if it senses something behind the car. And the lane departure, unless you shut all that off, you can turn those mitigations off, I guess.
Especially if it was a courtesy car and it was probably brand new or, you know, very low mileage. I'd have to imagine a lot of them, you actually have to turn the function on.
Oh, really?
So it's possible,
it just wasn't on.
Yeah,
because that car's got to be equipped with all that. A brand new courtesy car from Genesis, right?
You would think so, especially because, like you said,
it's got a black box in it. I mean,
part of the sponsorship. You know, for what he was working on.
That stuff is standard in today's cars. You get a new car now and all that, your side.
I've got a
lane departure.
I've got a little information for you.
Yeah.
The 2021 GV80 made by Hyundai luxury brand. That's the car that he was utilizing at the time. Is likely to have a newer version of vent data recorders. It's nicknamed black boxes, but after the more sophisticated airplane models. So it's something similar, but it's more of an event data recorder.
Crazy.
So that's what you've got.
Let's go to Orlando in Texas on ESPN 1000. You want to talk about the Illini? What's up, Orlando?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are y'all doing?
Great. How you doing, buddy?
Good, good. I hit up Carmen last night, but the dang spell check messed up the thing. But I said Bucky Sucky last night against Purdue. So.
I missed that somehow last night.
They sucky because Purdue's got like a 7'5" guy who just can't stop him.
Bucky Sucky. That's it.
Yeah, but no, I appreciate it, guys. Long-time listener. I grew up in Northwest Indiana, and I'm doing my doctorate down here in Texas. So
nice. Lovely.
I get the stares when I'm wearing my Sox or Bears or Bulls, anything Chicago, all the teams that I love from up north, I'm not going to change. So I'm not one of those fair-weather fans. But appreciate you guys giving the insight on the Big Ten earlier, and then really just looking forward to the White Sox. My family, my dad especially, is a longtime White Sox fan. So looking forward to great things with the Sox, and, hopefully things go well. But I listen to you guys on Twitch and also, just keep up on the podcast when I'm doing my work for my doctorate. But I appreciate it, guys.
What are you getting your doctorate in?
Higher education, educational leadership.
Good for you, Orlando.
And where are you from?
Northwest Indiana.
Yeah, what part?
I grew up in East Chicago, but I live down here. yeah, I live down here in Hockley, and I work at a university, and ultimately just trying to get my doctorate and do better for my family. But I hope you guys stay safe, and I'll look forward to hearing more of you throughout the years.
Thanks, Orlando. Thank you, buddy.
You ever been to East Chicago, Indiana?
I have been through East Chicago, though. Yeah.
Joey Wargo. Joey Wargo's got a place there, Northwest Industrial Science.
There you go.
Beautiful East Chicago, Indiana.
I love Joey Wargo.
The Harbor Kid. That's what they call it out there, the Harbor.
The Harbor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Illinois was beyond impressive last night. We started the show about an hour ago talking about that. I mean, without their best player, the Illini playing without their best player in Io, to still go in there and put a thumping on Michigan that way was something. Does that solidify a one seed for them?
Not yet.
Not yet? I mean, because Lenardi already had them on the one line before that.
Yeah, he was on the one line before. Yeah.
They just handed Michigan.
That team. That strength of schedule's got to be phenomenal.
It's second
loss. They have the most wins, quad one wins, whatever. They have nine now, which is the most. They're probably close. They might be one right now. But
do they need to win just like one
they've
more?
They've got Ohio State this weekend. So if Ohio State
don't
beats
they have a makeup against Michigan State too? Or am I wrong about that?
They already played. No, they played Michigan State already twice.
I thought they had one that was canceled. Maybe you're right.
I think that is what has really got them going is the hard foul on Io.
Yeah.
And since then, they destroyed Wisconsin, destroyed Michigan, and
Ohio State.
I don't know, Ohio State beat them earlier this year and Champaign. So if they beat them twice, it's tough to put Illinois over Ohio State for a one seed, right?
And that might be. Although Ohio State slipped up here in this last week.
They had three straight losses.
Yeah.
Wow, that's terrible.
I think the Big Ten tournament is really going to determine a lot of things. And I mentioned UConn earlier this week. I wonder how teams who have already solidified their seeding are going to handle their postseason tournaments. If they're going to play them a little safer, make sure no one gets hurt, or if they're going to go for the championship. It's be curious to see how some of these teams play out, especially with everything going on with COVID.
All right, so the last regular season game is Saturday at Ohio State.
Yeah, there's nothing else.
That's going to be it. So, does Illinois need just, even if they were to lose that game, but if they win a game in the Big Ten? I wonder.
I think Michigan could still get a one seed.
I think Michigan could, too.
Oh, Michigan's a lock.
For
a one seed, Michigan's a lock.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So
I think there's three locks, Baylor, Michigan.
So yesterday, it was Baylor, Gonzaga. How about the Baylor-West Virginia finish? Wow. Before the Illinois game yesterday. Yesterday, Lenardi had it as Gonzaga, Baylor, Illinois, and Michigan. Those were the four number one seeds. Illinois just beat Michigan. I mean, I don't know how you can't make them a number one. Oh.
Well, they have six losses. So if
that would be the argument. Baylor's one of their losses.
Yeah, Baylor's one of their losses.
Yeah, so I think Illinois very easily could be a two seed if they don't finish strong. Now, if they win the Big Ten tournament.
They lost at Rutgers. Rutgers has been ranked inside the top 25 for most of the year, right?
Lost to Ohio State.
Is the loss to Maryland the one that that Maryland's not great, right?
Maryland's won seven in a row.
They're great now, Merck. I mean, so what? Where are the bad losses? They lost to Baylor,
Michigan State.
They lost. Yeah, that's a bad one.
That was there. That's not that. That's not a terrible.
But still, Michigan. That might be the one that hurts them a little bit. I don't know. They didn't lose to Northwestern. They didn't get tripped up by Nebraska. They beat the snot out of Michigan in Ann Arbor. They rolled at Wisconsin, right, Merck, last
rolled,
week? They rolled at Wisconsin.
I mean, Wisconsin made a furious comeback at the end.
They did. That game was that was Sunday or Saturday I was watching that
Saturday
game.
Saturday afternoon. Yeah.
That game got a little weird at the end. You're right. That game should not have been that close. That was about a 14-point game with 5 minutes left, and Illinois did let him back in a little bit, so that's fair enough. Right. But still, they won that game on the road. There really isn't a horrible loss. Maybe you look at the Maryland one.
That one
was at home, I think.
I think if you look at Villanova and Florida State, and you just – if they can win their conference tournaments, right –
Villanova's got no shot at anything. Top they can get is a two seed. Maybe.
Why do you say that definitively?
Villanova just lost to Butler.
They were like an eight point favorite and lost to Villanova.
I don't think has many quality wins this year. I don't know why they're ranked so high.
Lenardi did not even have Villanova on the two line as of yesterday. He had Ohio State, Iowa, Bama, and West Virginia.
Florida State? Where's Florida State at?
I don't know. I'd have to look. I'm just thinking of
ranked teams, if they win their conference tournaments, could they jump the Illini?
If the Illini, let's say they lose in the first round.
Michigan wins the Big Ten tournament. Right. Could somebody
leap them?
Ace Illinois out of a one seed?
Yeah.
Boy, man, Illinois is a one seed. Wouldn't that be something? Would that be great?
Man, give Brad Underwood credit. He has come in and he has changed the culture of that program.
And they're good, man. Kofi Coburn, he is a beast.
And they've got so much young talent on that team.
I'm telling you, Andre Curbelo, I have fallen in love with Andre Curbelo. I mean, he comes off the bench for them. Think about as he, you know, I would assume next year he transitions into a starter.
For sure.
That kid's handle and his awareness. And yeah, look, he's got the ball in his hands a lot. He's going to be prone to some big turnover games. Like, I think he had one where he had six or seven or maybe even eight. And you could say, okay, like, he's going to be prone to some of that. He's a freshman. But his handle and his vision are next level. I mean, he is really, really good.
I haven't seen a big guy like that, just massive, okay, as Kofi is since Greg Oden.
Like, yeah, he's pretty big.
And I watched Greg Oden in the championship game against Wisconsin in the Big Ten tournament, and like you couldn't move him. Like he had a tough time
moving him last night.
Kofi's the same way. He's so massive.
You know what? Shame on us. We missed the obvious. You know who's going to get the one seed instead of Illinois?
Who? Northwestern.
Loyola.
I thought you were going to say Northwestern.
Loyola. Hopefully they can be a six seed.
Meller. Your team's going to maybe make some noise.
Come on, boys.
Hop on the Meller Loyola bandwagon.
The push starts now. Rambler up.
Rambler up, baby. Hey, if you got 20 schmil, you can buy LeBron's house in L.A. plus White Flag Trade 2.0. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Hey, guys, it's Jericho. Playing 10 years in the league created some battle wounds that I still feel every single day. It's constant aches and pains, discomfort. It's unfortunately will not go away. What I've been looking for is something to help ease the pain in a safe and reliable way. Recently, I was introduced to Delta 8x3 Cheap, and it was exactly what Johnny Handsome needed. The effects for me were instantaneous, and I was finally able to diminish the pain and that discomfort. My friends at 3G, that's the number 3, CHI, are the leaders in hemp-derived cannabinoid products. They invented a way to make the first federally legal Delta-8 THC in the world. Delta-8 is a perfect substitute for anybody using Delta-9 who want the same great feelings but without those negative side effects. Take my advice. Go to 3G.com. That's the number 3, CHI.com. To shop for Delta-8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils. The gummies, by the way, my favorite. Use code ESPN21 at checkout to receive 5% off your order. That's ESPN21. You must be 21 or older to purchase.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
2-2 pitch, swing and a miss on a split. And a big strikeout for Arihara. He is not out of the woods yet. He's got to face Abreu, and I think they may be done. Nutera's walking off the field. And so, yeah, the White Sox fans are not too thrilled as they will be denied a Jose Abreu bases-loaded plate appearance here in the second inning. As the kids say, it is what it is. Rangers then scored the next five before the White Sox tied it up here in the fifth inning as Collins draws a walk to load the bases. And Chris Woodward says that's it. So we'll have another rollover inning here in the fifth. And the faithful again expressing their displeasure.
Glenn and DJ yesterday here on your home for the White Sox, ESPN Chicago. That was good. And if I were in the stands enjoying a beautiful day in spring training in Arizona, especially coming from a cold weather place, and I was able to be in shorts and a hooded sweatshirt out in the sun, and Jose Abreu was coming up with the bases loaded, and they pulled everybody off the field, I'd probably be booing too. Now, I don't really care because it's spring training. Like, I get it. But I probably start booing, too, just to have some fun.
What are we doing? Every time we load the bases, you guys want to end an inning?
Right.
And the next one, I think they walked the bases loaded, and things were going to happen for the White Sox again. And then it was let's poop on the White Sox.
But look,
that's not fun.
The results don't really matter right now.
Right, of course they don't.
You guys didn't hear about the new rule in baseball this year?
Yeah, can you imagine?
If you load the bases, you can end the inning.
Just we're going to roll
at your discretion.
The manager's discretion.
They're going to do this in the regular season, too.
I'll really get mad when they start messing with stuff like that in the regular season. Spring training, I kind of get it. I'm sure I would have booed in the stands yesterday. I didn't boo at home watching or listening, I'll tell you that
much. It's asinine. Bring out a pitcher. Bring out a different pitcher.
Yeah, if you guys pitch too much, bring another guy out.
The first time they did it, what's his name? Koei Arahara?
Uihara, right?
Arahara.
You saying pan or pan?
Arahara.
Saying Arahara or Uihara?
Arahara did not even come back out for the next inning.
Well, yeah, he like reached his limit after two. Right?
So that's then the send out
bring
a pitcher.
Guy.
Send out a different
pitcher.
I don't
think they don't have enough guys.
Oh, that's crap.
What do you mean they don't have enough guys?
I don't think they have enough guys.
It's spring training. It's a baseball
40 guys.
Team. Non-roster invitee. Let's go.
Bring some non-roster.
Throw a bullpen coach out there.
I
know you hate Jose Abreu, so you were more than
I
happy for
Jose
him
Abreu.
To not
That's
get a
not
chance
true.
To hit
Carmen
Harm.
Hates
don't
Abreu.
Say that. I don't hate Jose Abreu.
Carmen wanted Abreu gone from the White Sox. Then he went and had an MVP year.
Years ago, Carm wanted to trade Jose Abreu for Brian Lahir when he made the All-Star game for the Cubs.
Stop yourself. Stop yourself.
Oh,
I don't hate Jose Abreu at all. I love Jose Abreu.
Now you do.
I always have loved Jose, but I wouldn't have resigned him.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Thank heaven.
He won the MVP. You can't take the L on that one.
Can you please acknowledge his greatness?
All right. We're on Twitch. Put a big L on your forehead for that.
Fine. You can say that that's an L.
Put it on your forehead.
I'm just saying when you say you don't want him, well, 2 years ago, no, I wouldn't have re-signed him. That's
true.
You know,
and you were clearly wrong on that one. He won an MVP.
We'll see. Terribly wrong.
What do you mean we'll see?
We'll see.
Did he not earn his contract already by winning an MVP?
Say you were wrong, Carm. It's okay.
You win your contract, a multi-year contract on 1 year?
I think so, yeah. If you know what? Depending on what you do in that first year.
Really?
I think so. Because what if a pitcher blows out his arm and has Tommy John surgery, but he was great the first 2 years?
You guys keep trying to convince me the 15 wins that you Darvish gave me in 3 years was something spectacular. What a great pitcher he is. This guy's an MVP for you, Carm.
What was his contract? What did they sign him for?
To be honest, I don't even remember.
Like a 3 year 30 years, million. 3 year 30 million.
I think it was 3 years.
Is an MVP season not worth $30 million? Pretty close, right? If you win the MVP,
yeah, I guess it's probably pretty close.
Fernando Tatis is making what per year?
24. But he's got a 14-year deal.
Oh, my heavens.
I mean, Mike Trout makes what per year?
36.
You know, he wins an MVP.
I guess you're right.
If I could guarantee you an MVP, you'd take it for $30 million.
I guess you're right. I would take that.
He earned his contract, even if he never does anything else.
Yeah.
3.1
Well, listen, watching it at home, you kind of get that how locked into spring training baseball can one person be? I guess that's the question.
I'm
locked
in.
If you're there, you get upset. I get it. Like I said, because you're sitting out in the sun. I'd probably boo just to have some fun anyway. Everybody else is whatever. Like, yeah, boo, bring in somebody to face the brave. But, I mean, how upset can you really get? Like Len said, well, they put this rule in place. It's still kind of weird because of COVID. And let's just move on with it already. You know what I mean? Like, it's still spring training. Yeah, I don't know how upset one can get with something like that.
I've got the specifics on the salaries for Jose Abreu. Signed a 3-year deal for $37.3 million. $12,666.7 million he's made last year. He'll make $17.6 million and then $19.6 million in his final year. I mean, that's a pretty good deal, Carl.
It's a great deal, and it was never about the cost. I want Andrew Vaughn to play. And that's what I was saying a year ago. I want Andrew Vaughn to
play.
They
have too much duplicity at the position.
Exactly.
Too much repetitiveness.
And listen,
at first base and or DH.
It'll all work out. Vaughn's going to be their DH. Yeah. Fine.
Well, he can hit the ball.
Yes, he can.
He can hit the ball.
That's
but
why that was my stance.
Cuban players.
That was my stance 2 years ago, wasn't it? I mean, it's got nothing to do with liking or disliking Jose. I love Jose Abreu, but I wanted Andrew Vaughn to play.
Who's speaking to the Cuban players?
Yoan Moncada can speak to the Cuban
Andrew
players.
Does Andrew Vaughn speak Cuban?
Cuban is not a language.
Yurko is absolutely right.
Spanish.
Like, who's going to bring in the Cubanos into the clubhouse?
That's right.
Well, Jose, I mean, Yoan Moncada.
Yoan
Moncada is Cuban.
No, he's too busy making music videos. He can't make the runs.
Who's smuggling
in the rum? Jose Abreu is the leadership in the clubhouse.
So he's bringing
for all the fine young
who's
Cubans.
Who's bringing the Cuban seed from the Vuelta Abajo region?
So he's bringing the pasolitos and the café con leche.
Right.
That's what you're telling me.
The young guys got to concentrate on baseball. The old guy gets to do everything else.
Yes.
Under Cuban is not a language?
Vaughn destroyed a ball.
You're saying Cuban's not a language?
Cuban, no. Unless you mean like in terms of their specific vernacular. Like,
yes.
Hey, who's going to speak the Cuban voice?
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. That I could see.
Who's speaking for the Cuban voice?
Yes, right. But they definitely don't, it's definitely not a language, just so everybody knows.
I see what you're saying.
Like,
yes. I made that
maybe
mistake.
Their vernacular is slightly different than like people who speak Spanish in the Dominican Republic or something.
I was wrong.
They got plenty of guys who can communicate with one another, speak Spanish, and share similar
Cuban language.
They share similar backgrounds and similar
story.
Now
we can agree with this. Cuban sandwich, yes.
It's the best.
Cuban language, no.
This Cuban sandwich is like one of the all-time best sandwiches you will ever have.
Thinly sliced pickle with mustard. Oh, boy, I tell you. Where's that little joint you took us to for when the draft was in Chicago?
Cafecito.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cafecito. What's going on over there? Yeah. Somebody's making random noises.
You mentioned that sandwich, and JR had an orgasm next to me.
I'll give you the three best Cubans.
Keep it out of your beard, kid.
All right. 90 miles. I'll give you two in the city and one in the boroughs.
Right, go ahead.
90 miles.
Sure. To referring to the 90 miles from Cuba to Florida.
That's like my favorite Cuban restaurant in Chicago. There's two locations.
What's next?
90 miles, Cafecito, and believe it or not, it's not a Cuban place. It's not a Spanish place. It's a brew pub. Yeah. Milk Money Brewing in LaGrange, right by Mellor.
Milk Money Brewing?
It's a brew pub, but they also have great food. They make a killer
I've been there. I have not had their
Cuban sandwich. Just try it for lunch.
All right. Just try it.
They make a killer Cuban.
That's pressed with a lard. They don't use butter. It's a lard they use to get the crispy.
That's how it tastes so good.
I would like to do a ranking of our... Maybe tomorrow we'll talk about our favorite sandwiches.
When's the last time you had a bucket of lard at the house for cooking purposes?
Well, I don't know.
Crisco.
I don't.
When's the last time you had a little Crisco?
I don't think I've ever used Crisco at the house.
Oh man,
I'll use bacon fat.
Yes, bacon fat's the way to go. Healthier and it tastes just as good.
Okay. Yeah, it's not all chemicals.
I'm gonna take your word for it.
Can you rank? We're the home of the White Sox. Can you rank White Sox players in order of your favorite?
Right now or all time?
No, for tomorrow.
All time?
No.
Oh, right now.
This roster.
Yes,
I
want to
know where Jose Abreu checks in.
Jose Abreu will be in my top
25.
Five. No, stop it.
Jose Abreu, number 25.
Stop it.
Will he make the 40-man?
Just in front of Tony La Russa.
Jose might be number one or two, to be honest.
Tony La Russa.
That doesn't mean I didn't want
He didn't want La Russa. He didn't want Abreu.
Doesn't mean I didn't want Andrew Vaughn playing.
Oh, my heavens. I'm scratching my head here. This guy hates the Whites. I mean, he loves the Whites.
Somebody sent a note, too, that La Russa's already causing trouble because he's making waves about the spring training rule. That's not causing trouble.
No, that's defending your guys.
Yeah, that's not causing trouble.
Not only that, but it's taking your fans into effect because your fans, no matter, even if it's preseason, it doesn't matter.
Right, yeah.
They still want to win.
Yeah.
You know what I think it is? It's like once you're like, okay, fine, whatever. Base is loaded. You want to end the inning? Fine. The rule's in place. Right. When you do it a second time, hey, how about a little respect for the opposition who's got some time into this too?
I think it happened three times in the game yesterday, didn't it?
It's crazy. Cubano Bros in Elk Grove.
Ooh, okay.
It's a recommendation also.
Never been there. Cubano Bros.
Cubano Bros.
We'll also rank our sandwiches, our top sandwiches tomorrow. We'll be right back.
Get Carmen and Yurko pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Yurko Whiskey Wednesday is back, and it's brought to you on the Carmen and Yurko Show by the great folks at Bub City. We love Bub. Two locations, downtown in River North and on the promenade in Rosemont. By the airport, and both places have you covered. Reservations are available today on their heated tents and patio set up at both locations. You can take the stress out of meal planning. Try Bill's Original Tavern Style Pizza, which is available now through delivery on DoorDash and Uber Eats. I don't know what Merkin would do because he doesn't use those. That's only Bub City's Rosemont location, FYI, but the food is spectacular at both. Really, they're known for their barbecue. They put a pizza oven in, and they're doing this Bill's Tavern Style Pizza in Rosemont, but everything on the menu. Everything that Chef Christian and Chef Tim come up with is fantastic. And their smoked meats and their barbecue, second to none. And their whiskey collection is incredible. They do private barrel picks with all the big distillers, York, and they've got one right now, Stag Junior Batch 15. That's Bub's pick. And you can get it to go How about that? You can take a bottle with you or take a sample with you. Bub-City.com to learn more or to reserve. And if you do go in, make sure you ask for the special whiskey of the week, the Stag Junior Batch 15, and tell them Carmen and Yurko sent you. That Stag Junior is good stuff.
Delicious.
And it's becoming increasingly hard to find. So get it at Bub City. Tonight, I've got a special Whiskey Wednesday. Do you know today is the 124th anniversary of the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897, which we talk about often in the world American whiskey? It is probably the first Consumer Protection Act in American history. It sort of revolutionized the way modern whiskey making whiskey was distilled. So a very important act, and we'll do something special for Bottled and Bond tonight. So check out my Twitter at Carmen DeFalco and Instagram at Carmen DeFalco 5. That's the number 5. I mean, I quickly jotted down my 5 favorite sandwiches, but I feel like we need more time.
Well, tell them what happened.
Because Yurko, he
rolled through a sandwich. I got him, and then rolled
through
mine.
And then Yurko started rolling through his.
And I went Monte Cristo.
Corned beef, and I go,
corned beef on rye, and then he's like, damn.
I might have to amend it, so let's save it for tomorrow.
All right, save it for tomorrow. I was just naming random sandwiches, too.
You know, what about like a good pastrami on rye with some spicy mustard? Like, it's not as easy as you think. And then...
to narrow it to 5, Carmen.
Then you get into the whole, like, is a burger a sandwich?
It's not a sandwich. A burger is a burger.
No, let's not do that.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
A hot dog's a hot dog.
Is a lobster roll a sandwich?
Between two, it's because it goes between, like, a hoagie.
Yeah, but so does a hot dog. I mean,
hot dog's between a hot dog bun.
So a sausage sandwich is not a sandwich, even though you call it a sausage sandwich?
No. Meatball sandwich is a meatball sandwich.
So is a sausage sandwich a sandwich?
No, sausage goes with the hot dog.
But we call it a sausage sandwich.
Encased meats are encased meats.
Yes, I think that's right.
But it's literally called, I'm going to go get a sausage sandwich.
You're talking about the sausage sandwich where it's cut up in half and like actually laid out like meat? Or are you talking about like eating a sausage?
Like a sausage.
No, then it's a sausage.
It's an encased meat.
What about a combo? What about when there's beef with it?
Roast beef. You got to go with Italian beef.
Geez, this is a hard list. That's harder than
I thought. It's not hard. You're trying to complicate it, and we're asking you to not complicate it.
No, I'm saying it's hard to pick 5.
Oh, only 5. I get it. I understand that. I mean, for me, the Master's Egg Salad Sandwich is one of my top 5 of all time.
Down at Augusta?
But it's got to be a Master's Egg Salad Sandwich. Specific. Hey.
I teased this a little bit, but a good read at ESPN.com from our friend Jesse Rogers, Return of the White Flag Trade. How the Cubs are setting themselves up for a difficult July dilemma. And he goes back through the history of what the White Sox did in 97 and what Dave Dombrowski did a couple of years ago. If they're 3 games out and they decide to sell it off? Are the Cub fans going to go nuts?
If the bats are silent and Ian Happ is your best hitter again, I have a feeling there won't be any white flag trade. Everybody will be clamoring to get whatever you can for Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, and Contreras or whoever. Just, out the door. Let's rebuild this thing, get some young people in here.
Good read from Jesse, so check that out if you want to see what the Cubs might be faced with as the spring and summer go along. ESPN.com for that. I saw Randy sent me this morning from TMZ Sports that LeBron is selling a home he bought in Brentwood back in 2015, long before he was a Laker, for $20 million. He actually bought it for $20.9 million. He's selling it for 20, so a little bit of a discount. I can't help it, man. When I see that there's a gallery of like these famous people's homes, I got to check out the inside. I just want to see. I want to see what the kitchen looks like and the entertaining area. I mean, it's spectacular. It's 9,500 square feet.
It's a big home.
It has 6 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms, a media room, a home gym, a massive pool, and a basketball hoop near the garage. And the views, I mean, you should see from like the terrace.
Palatial.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's just incredible. LeBron has since moved out, and he bought a $36 million mansion in Beverly Hills that was once owned by Chicago's very own soap opera legend, Lee Philip Bell, out in California. So, you go from $20 million to $36 million. It must be nice.
Beverly Hills, that's where I want to be.
That's
Who sells their house first, LeBron or Michael? That's the ultimate goat test.
LeBron's is a better house, I'm telling you, and it's a better location.
Better location.
Really?
Michael's house,
that's a pretty good location.
But, Merck, you see the views of California?
It's weird.
I'm saying LeBron.
Somebody bought Michael's house, didn't they?
It's still for sale.
I thought that price was down to like $3 million. Somebody please just take it.
It costs like $30
million. $3 million in back taxes.
10%. All right, thanks everybody who listened and called and contributed in the show today. Thanks to Len Casper. It was great talking to the voice of the White Sox here on your home for White Sox baseball. Great job by Jeff Meller. Randy Merkin and Jarrett Strauss. Greeny's next. Waddle and Sylvia at 2. Black and Abdallah at 6. And we will see you tomorrow. Merkin lost a bet to me. We get lunch on Friday, and Merck's got today's final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
Who gets to dictate on a wager like that lunch? Who gets to dictate lunch? The guy that lost the bet or the guy that wins the bet?
I meant to say Barry's sandwiches.
I think everybody and their brother knows it's the guy that wins the bet after it's already over, after it's done and there's a loss.
I could say we're going to have Chicago cut, but I'm not going to do that to you. I know that would be a little pricey. I'm not going to do it to you.
How about Portillo's?
Oh, there's a good option.
How are we going to get Portillo's? They don't deliver.
Sure, they do. They're on. They got to be on DoorDash. Everybody.
I don't do DoorDash.
Everybody's on. Oh, gee, what the hell's going on here?